Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. Welcome to another episode of Equipped. I'm excited to talk to you guys today. I want today to make a case for why I think all of our small groups at Connection Church should be using the 4-12 reading plan approach. I was talking to Tanya, one of the wonderful women that we have on staff here that leads our KK ministry. She was asking, does all of our small groups use the 4-12 reading plan? The answer is no, they don't. If you go on the website, you see that many of our groups take a topical approach. Some of our groups take a studying a book of the Bible approach. But there are some that also use the 4-12 reading plan approach. And again, for the specific purpose of this podcast, which is about multiplication, which is also about equipping our small group leaders, who your frontline ministry and responsibility is to help provide community for the people in the life of our church, but also to help multiply small groups. I want to make a case for why I think taking the approach of using the 4-12 reading plan will be the best pathway for doing so. And it's a very simple, very straightforward principle that I want to put in front of you. And it is this: the more complicated a system is, the harder it is for it to multiply. That's true of everything in general. The more complicated something is, the more difficult it is for that thing to multiply. Whether it is sports, whether it is business, whether it is... So here's, like, for example, the larger of an organization like Google or Facebook or Instagram, or get even bigger than that, like a giant, like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola basically owns all food in the world, Nestle, like all these different things. Those giant organizations, if I gave you the commission to go out and start that organization, there is a very, very, very small number of people in the world that can start that level of an organization. Like, if I challenge you to go out and start the next Tesla, there's no way. Now, I mean, then expand that out to start a comparable organization to everything that Elon Musk has started. Almost impossible. I mean, some of the smartest people in the world can't duplicate that because it is a complicated infrastructure. Now, if I said, I want you to go out and start a pressure washing business, most people at our church genuinely could start a pressure washing business. Very simple machinery, very clear, very obvious goal to pressure wash something until it's clean. There's some tutorial, you wouldn't even necessarily need a mentor. You don't need a 4-year degree. You don't need a 2-year degree. You don't need to go to school, period, to be able to start a pressure washing company. Now, you get what I'm saying. The more complicated something is, the harder it is to multiply. How does that relate to small groups? In the life of our church, we've found a solution over the last several years for community. Well, in general, we've found a thing that makes a difference in our church called connect groups. Over the course of time, connect groups have had a varying amount of the percentage of our people in it. At one point in time, it was upwards of almost 65 to 80% of those who attended on Sunday were in a small group. over the course of time, that has changed to now where we are today is we have roughly 1,500 people or so that attend our church on any given Sunday morning, but we have about 300 people in small groups. And so the current need is for us to multiply small groups to the point where we have so many available options that it can capture the growth of people moving from a Sunday morning attender into actually being in small groups. We need to multiply. People, when they go on our website to sign up for groups at a very practical level, they need more options. That is a secondary reason. I've tried to establish over the course of this podcast why primarily we should seek to multiply because it was our created intention and it is our redeemed purpose. But secondarily to the fact that you and I were created to be multipliers, both of God's image, of God's word, of God's news in Jesus, but also of our own growth. And we're going to look at that in 1 Corinthians 10 here in a second. Secondarily to the fact that this is what we were created for, very practically, it meets the current need that we have as a church, which is that we need more small groups. And the best way to multiply small groups is to have such a simple strategy, not simplistic, but such a simple strategy that more people feel empowered to provide community for people. Thirdly, so it's our created intent and our redeemed purpose. That's the primary reason you should multiply. Secondarily, it meets a practical need in the life of our church. Thirdly, multiplication requires freedom. If something's not free, it can't multiply. Something to multiply its force needs room to move. It needs room to spread its wings and get out and just bust loose. If something's going to multiply its energy, if something's going to be a multiplying force, it needs some room. It needs freedom. It can't be hindered. Clear example. If a gun barrel is crooked, because it's not straight, it's hindered. Therefore, its force and its potential impact is going to be affected by the gun barrel not being straight. It's a silly example. But that's what I'm trying to get at, is that the potential for that bullet to do the damage that it could do and reach the goal that it wants to reach based off of where the person holding the gun is aiming needs a straight barrel, needs to be unhindered. It needs freedom in order to multiply its force. This is what I believe for many of the people in the life of our church, is they assume the apex of being a small group leader is being able to sit down and open the Bible in front of 6 to 15 people and be able to hold a scholarly, engaging conversation and answer every single question that every single person in the group has. And therefore, the pathway to feeling free to lead a small group feels more complicated. What I've tried to cast the vision of in the life of our church is that I don't need our small group leaders to be Bible scholars. I need them to be hungry for the journey, not just hungry to teach. I would rather our small groups demonstrate a shared love and a shared hunger for the Bible. Me and Tanya were talking about this earlier too. She was super helpful in me getting clarity about why I wanted to say what I wanted to say today. For small groups, or for the 4-12 reading plan, it can feel, okay, so something we say in my Connect group quite a bit is, I'm just as interested in what God's not doing in your life as I am interested in what he is doing in your life. Because I want our small group to be a place where people can feel, can be authentic and can be honest and real about what's going on in their spiritual life. And I would say that the reason that the 4:12 reading plan feels intimidating is because it feels like a pass-fail. Did I check all the boxes? Did I get enough done? Have I read enough? But what's powerful about the 4:12 reading plan is that it actually holds, one, it just provides a clear pathway and a shared journey together. But it also bumps up against our sensibilities. It bumps up against, like, if I've had a good week, I feel more compelled to share than if I've had a bad week. That's just a very basic small group dynamic for, and I'm a little all over the place. I feel a little under the weather, and we've just had a lot of stuff going on in our family as far as sickness, and so I'm a little all over the place. But what I want to get at is this, is that I want people, when they walk into our small group, to feel like these are people that, even if they don't know the answer, they're hungry for the person that this story is about. If you think about the Bible, it's an eternal document. It's eternal in the sense that the Logos, Jesus, the person, the Word of God, has never not existed. It's eternal in the sense that this is God's message to humanity about who he is and what he's like. Paul says that it's the graphe that is breathed out by God. So we've been left with a timeless document. That means it's not a small thing to sit down and try to be a teacher of this document. It's not a small thing to, James says this, right? James 3, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Many of us stumble in many ways. That is what a connect group is like. A shared sense of community around our common struggle. But that's not reflective if the leader, if what we take the Bible study portion of the group to be, is to have, and this isn't what a lot of our connect group leaders do, but this is the danger, is that the group becomes dependent on a dynamic teacher of the Bible, or they feel like the way that they are going to be spiritually nourished is to come in and sit under a Bible teacher, rather than they're coming in and partnering with somebody who's hungry for the person of Jesus. That's what I want. The 4:12 reading plan bumps up against our performance-driven nature. It bumps up against our ability to be sufficient in our own strength, because there's going to be days that we don't read. There's going to be days that we fall behind. There's going to be seasons of life that come up that we just can't help. And then we get a reminder from the Holy Spirit. We get a reminder that it's not a method or a specific quiet time that is our strength. It's the person of Christ that is our strength. And we use a strategy called the 4:12 reading plan to get into God's presence, not to check a box and move on. And what that does is foster something in our small group leaders, so that when they step into small group, they're stepping in as people who are hungry for the person of Jesus, not somebody who has excelled at checking a to-do list. And now marry that with the practical need of the day, which is that we need our small groups to multiply. We need people to feel this. Let me say this as clearly as I can. We want more people to feel like they have the potential to lead a small group, not less. Will more people feel empowered to say, hey, I may not know every answer, how to exegete every scripture, how to exposit and explain and give compelling examples and teach with such boldness and winsomeness that people just look at me and are in awe? Does that inspire more people to want to lead? Or does a sense of, I can facilitate a shared hunger for the person of Jesus. I can demonstrate hospitality. I can open my home. I can be pastored, and I can let this pastoral staff walk alongside me and help me become ready to be a facilitator of conversation centered on a shared journey. I want people in our church to feel hungry for the person of Jesus, not to feel intimidated by a teaching environment. I like the way Paul says this in 1 Corinthians Chapter 10, see if I can get there while I'm live recording. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Not seeking my own advantage, trying to please everyone, whether to the Jew or to the Greek. We want our connect groups to be a place of diverse life experience. Now, I think next week I'm going to talk about why I encourage people to start anyone and everyone groups. It's because of this same principle. But why I encourage the 412 reading plan is because multiplication is our created intent and our redeemed purpose. It's the need of the day that we have in the life of our church for more connect groups to be started. And the 412 reading plan is a simple but effective approach for generating authentic conversation about what Jesus is or what you feel like Jesus is not doing, and then us to be able to partner in prayer together. But it also protects us as fellow sheep, as fellow followers of Jesus, that we're not putting ourselves into a teaching role that's outside of our gifting, or as 1 Corinthians 10 would say, maybe teaching is our gifting, but it's what I need to set aside in order to be all things to all people. So that's my encouragement to you today, is that you would consider. And this is what I know too, is that you, many of the people that are listening to this, you are good leaders, and you can take the same approach using a Bible study approach. Two connect group leaders immediately come to mind of people that, as walking through the Bible, they are compelling people to take next steps and have an authentic, transparent relationship with a hunger for Jesus. And you can do that. If you can look me and in my eyes and tell me that I hear you, I desire to multiply, I desire to see people multiply, I want to see Jesus multiplied into other people, and I can use the Bible study approach to do that, praise God. That should manifest itself in more connect groups being started. But my encouragement to you is to really consider if you're having a hard time, if your group is struggling to grow, if you're struggling to retain people, if you're struggling to raise up new leaders, this invites diverse and a multitude of voices to the table. And some of the best places of conversation are going to start actually probably in a dark place, not on a mountaintop. It's going to start in the valley. But that's the valley is where most of us live most of the time. And so get down in the valley with people and hear exactly. And this is where I would kind of end with sort of a story from my own connect group. My own connect group is made up mostly of women, of moms of young babies and young children whose husbands don't come to our group. And we also are in a season with young kids. And besides the fact that the kids being there and running around is a little bit chaotic, which we actually do on purpose, another conversation for another day. We are not at a life stage where everything in life is buttoned up. And what's been powerful in our group is for people to come in and feel like they have the space to say, life is hard right now. And that has led to some of the best times of prayer and the best times of conversation. And it has allowed us, it's like me and two or three other men in there with about 12 ladies. And it has been such life-giving conversation. It's also taught me a lot about leading while you're wounded, leading while you're empty, still showing up when you're tired, and just a whole other perspective of following Jesus that I wouldn't have had if they were showing up, if these 12 or so people were showing up just to hear Pastor Jordan teach from the Bible. Might make me feel good, hey, and might help them understand some more about Scripture. But it doesn't multiply into their following of Jesus. And that's what I'm after. I want to know what if the 4-12 reading plan becomes an obstacle, and you're just like, if it's like a hurdle and you're running track and you're slamming into that hurdle every time, that's still feedback. That's still space for me and our group, specifically Mace, and then other people in our group to disciple, to know exactly what's going on. And I wouldn't have known about that hardship of their own following of Jesus. Think about this. If a person goes from an attender to being in our small group space, they're coming in with their concerns, their past, their hangups, their confusions, their issues that they want to talk about too. And they're stepping into our groups and they're beginning to be vulnerable about, or that's a vulnerable thing to just go and sit in another person's living room. And now if we don't steward and make the first step towards ourselves being transparent and authentic and honest about what's going on in our life, what God is doing, and also what God's not doing, if we don't take that step, first step as leaders to do that, how are we ever going to actually find out the issues that are deeply going on in people's lives? Depression, anxiety, divorces, like childhood wounds. Like me just teaching, you can get there, but the 4-12 takes the dial and turns it up to 10 immediately. What's God been showing you lately? Awkward silence. Nobody's really saying anything. A couple weeks go by, people begin to open up about the good stuff. A couple more weeks go by, I'm falling behind. What's God been showing you lately? Well, I just haven't had a chance to read. Well, what's God been showing you through your own time with Him, even aside from reading? You know, honestly, God's been really silent lately. Boom. Now we're talking about something real. Why is that? Now we get a chance to have an authentic conversation about the actual presence of God in somebody's life. And here's the hope, is that maybe somebody that doesn't ever speak up, or somebody who's new, begins to hear, this is a place I can come and talk about real stuff. And now, hopefully, somebody is seeing the group go from, you said God's not been showing up in your quiet time, God's not been doing this. Well, all right, it's been a couple months. How has God begun to change that? And now we're getting to hear stories and examples of how God is beginning to move. And now somebody who's never heard from God, hopefully, is seeing this person who's just a small group member see and experience the presence of God for themselves. And now they're beginning to ask the question that me and Billy talked about in our podcast of, whatever they got, I don't have. And I want that. And now, hopefully, by God's grace, we see salvations come from that. On and on. I mean, I could say so much more, but it's multiplication is our created intent, and it's our redeemed purpose at the cross. That's why Jesus died, to set us free to return to multiplying his image and likeness on this earth. Secondarily to that, it's the need that we have as a church. We need more small groups to be able to provide community for a greater population of people. And then thirdly to that, is that things that are complicated are harder to multiply. And I want people to experience the freedom that comes in Christ. Multiplication doesn't happen unless something has freedom. And I want more and more people in the life of our church to experience freedom. When people wind up getting free from the sins of their past, the struggles that they currently have, the false identities that they've adopted, the childhoods that they can't seem to wrap their heads around and wrap their soul around, the marriage difficulties that just seem to never go away, the on and on and on, the difficult job, the kids. Once people begin to experience some spiritual freedom, now we're setting the stage for things to multiply. And the 412 invites a sense of authenticity and transparency and realness that I think leads to multiplication. I hope you'll join me in that journey.